Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 623. I'm your host, Josh Albert, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is not to be seen at the moment. He's either hiding out downstairs, because it is about his feeding time. He might be waiting by the feeder. There's a good chance of that. It's getting close to that. I'm actually recording this on a Saturday for once. Again, you know, that's my normal time. But the last few weeks I've been recording on Fridays. I've been working on Saturdays. And have been doing shit on Saturday nights. So it's like I haven't had time to do it on Saturdays. But I'm actually doing it on a Saturday again. And going to see Deadpool later with Muffin Man and Shelley. I'm kind of excited to see that one. The Deadpool Wolverine. It's going to be a later showing, though. I don't know. It's going to be rough, man. It's going to be rough due to the fact that I'm old. It's going to be late at night. It's going to be nice seats. I'm just going to probably sleep the whole fucking thing. I'm going to have to take a fucking 5-hour energy just to possibly get through this movie. Get jacked on fucking caffeine to go see a movie. I think if I take the 5-hour energy, I'll be all right. I mean, or just a Red Bull. The movie's like 2.5 hours. I'm thinking there's a strong chance that if I just do like a Red Bull, it's not going to be enough. Going to need a little bit more. Going to need a kick in the nuts. So I think I'm going to have to pound a 5-hour energy. I'm not going to do it right at the start of the movie because then I will not get any fucking sleep tonight because the movie starts at 7:30. I do want to get some sleep tonight. That would be a major plus. So I think I'm going to try, probably as soon as I get done recording this, go to the gas station, pick up a 5-hour, and see what happens. See what happens. Hopefully I maintain my consciousness. I have slept a lot. I did get up pretty early. I had to get up really early this morning, I guess, to go run. I agreed to go run. Did 8 miles. And then I didn't get much sleep last night, really. But then after the run, I slept for a couple more hours. So I should be pretty good on sleep. I'm not sure how much I got last night, but I did sleep for a few hours after the run. So that worked out-ish. And yeah, so we're going to get to go see that tonight. I know that guys at work, there was plenty of people at work that said, like, man, they had planned out, got their tickets like a month in advance and were just fucking ready to go. I know of at least one guy that took off, Bobby took off just to go see, took a vacation day for Friday just so he could go see Deadpool and Wolverine. Him and his wife went, and I'm pretty sure him and his wife went. Anyway. He was pretty stoked about seeing some fucking Deadpool Wolverine. Another guy we call Snacks, because he's constantly eating snacks. He went and saw it Thursday night, even though he came into work Friday morning, and that would be a little bit rough. But he's only like early 30s, so, you know, I got a little bit, a few more years on him. It's not something I would have wanted to do. And that I probably would have passed out for. But it's funny, the last few weeks, on an unrelated note, going back to what I was saying earlier about what day I'm recording on, as it would appear that the last 2 weeks previously, I recorded early and shit happened after I recorded early. There was the Trump assassination attempt, which seems like it's already, like, people have already forgotten about it. It was like 2 weeks ago. The Trump supporters, I'm sure, have not forgotten about that. It seems that it has only helped immortalize his sainthood getting shot in the ear. But, and then, yeah, that happened the week before last. And then this last week, I recorded again on like Friday, although it wouldn't have mattered had it, even if I had recorded on Saturday, because, you know, the big news, spoiler alert, it's Jover. Joe Biden dropped out. And then Kamala is, would appear, is going to get the nomination. I mean, she's got all the support of the delegates and everything. It would appear that she's got the nomination. But that, you know, that was some crazy shit that happened. And but I don't usually try to get political on here, you know. But I was excited that there was somebody not even quite 60. I think she's 59, 58, 59, Kamala, something to that effect. But I mean, that's, you know, it's like 20 years less than either of the other candidates. Well, unless you include J.D. Vance, who's younger than I am. Just, he's just a, yeah, that guy. Which would appear even Trump supporters aren't real fond of J.D. Vance. But I think that's because he has said some bad stuff about Trump in the past. And then all of a sudden he's, you know, he's glazing that cock. He's slurping that semen down, that Trump semen, the golden semen. Anyway. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy to see a sitting president that had already started to campaign, you know, for another round of another term, and then just drop out. That it would appear, you know, beforehand, I mean, it definitely seemed like the donors, they cut off the funding, and the big donors, that is, and a lot of big-time Democrats and donors and whatnot. I mean, they all were like, hey, drop the fuck out, dude. You're calling your vice president Vice President Trump. you know, I mean, he was doing some... you definitely see some decline there. Decline. Which kind of gives me hope, because I know that my brain is on the decline. but I feel like looking at that, well, ooh, I could still be president. If I called Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, Vladimir Putin, you know, I feel like that's... How do you make that gaffe? I mean, Biden's always been a gaffe machine. But goddamn, man. God damn. He did correct that one, I believe, like, pretty much right away. But still. Like, holy shit. How... only to... If we could get a window into Zelensky's mind as he heard his name actually being said as Putin. But, you know, he can't really say much because they get a lot of funding and weapons from the U.S., so that's awkward... Anyway, you know, it did seem like the writing was on the wall that he was going to be forced to drop out. However, I mean, Biden was looking very Trumpian on the way out, because he was like saying, I'm not fucking dropping out. And then he started putting on the bronzer, just caking himself in the bronzer, trying to turn himself orange like the Donald. Very weird, very weird, and doing very Trumpian things. And like, he had just forgotten the only reason why he actually gotten into office the first time is because so many people, you know, disliked Trump, and that he was not Donald Trump, and then that is why he got into office. And then he started acting very Trumpian and thinking like that was how he was going to win the voters over. How are you going to out-Trump Trump? I mean, you know, he's trying to do the same shit at the border as Trump and whatnot. And buy into that, all that fear. And, yeah, anyway. So, I mean, it was kind of surprising that he actually dropped out. But at the end of the day, I mean, the donors were like, fuck you. You're dropping out. Because, I mean, if you've got no funding for your campaign... What are you going to do? is the Trump campaign had a ton of cash. So I don't really feel that it was so so amazing that Joe Biden, so selfless that he did this. I mean, his hand was forced. His hand was forced. I mean, I am still kind of surprised, though, that he didn't go, just keep going. Just like, I'm in it. And, you know, just start blabbering in incoherent language the whole time. I mean, it's not the first time we've had a president with, like, dementia and whatnot. I mean, Reagan famously had Alzheimer's and didn't know what the fuck was going on. They used to make sketches about it on Saturday Night Live. And yet, you know, we survived the Reagan era. Not that I want that again, you know. I wouldn't want somebody in severe mental decline as that. But, hey, you know, we got the coconut pill now. There's a lot of people jumping on the coconut pill. Like, what, did you just fall out of a coconut tree? Of course, the story that Kamala Harris has now become like a meme where she's talking about her mother. Like, did you just fall out of a coconut tree? So everybody's getting coconut pilled. But it's crazy. I, you know, there's so much crazy shit happening, like, from week to week. As I'm recording this, I'm fully expecting something crazy to happen after I record. And, you know, like, tonight or tomorrow. And just totally throw another wrench out there. Or, you know, it's just going to be something completely unbelievable. I mean, I feel like we're going to some different terrain here. But it could, the aliens could come down and just announce themselves to the world. Or, you know, something of that nature. There's something crazy. There's some crazy shit in the works. Crazy world we live in. On a different note, unrelated to politics, I guess I've got the green light now on the home equity loan. And I gotta say, man, not the lender I'm going through. I'm going through GoodLeap. I... Soon as I started putting the stuff through to get the home equity loan, I guess that alerted other bankers that, like, oh, shit, this dude's trying to get a home equity loan. And I got fucking nonstop phone calls from this other bank, maybe a couple other banks, because I don't usually answer the phone and just get, like, numbers that say, like, spam, spam alert. I did answer the phone at one point because I thought, well, maybe this is, you know, GoodLeap or somebody affiliated with that, and that I do need to answer this because it was, I had to get through, you know, all kinds of info and whatnot. But no, it was another banker trying to get me a home equity loan. I was like, it was confused. I was like, is this about the loan I already have or I'm getting? And he's like, well, how about you listen to this one and our spiel? And telling you, fucking vultures. You know, what are the terms you're getting on the other one and whatnot? And I'm fucking, all right. And I was out shopping when they called me and answered it because I was like, oh, fuck, this might be one of the people I need to talk to. And then, like, nope, this is another fucking bank. Don't need to talk to these people. And they were like, you got 5 minutes. It was a lot more than 5 minutes. It was like 15, 20 minutes. I'm sitting in my fucking car trying to talk with them about this shit. I'm like, look, I'm not home. Chill the fuck out. I really don't want to talk to you in general. But and I'd given him some attitude, too. So he could tell that I didn't really want to talk to him. But... just kind of annoyed about the whole thing. I should have just said, I'm out. Peace out. But I didn't. He then said that he was going to call me This was like, I guess 2 weeks ago that I actually talked about. I don't believe I talked about this on the podcast before, but, he had told me like, what's a good time to talk to you? And I scheduled like, 5:30 or whatever on that following Friday. And, I waited like 5:30, whatever the fuck time I told him would be good on that Friday. No phone call. No fucking phone call. It's a banker. They're unreliable. And at that point, I hadn't finished. This was last week, but I hadn't finished, I guess, finalizing everything with the home equity loan. So, I mean, I guess I could have, which actually I could still cancel the one I've got after finishing all the stuff up this last week. I don't have the cash yet on hand, so I can't start paying off the debt and whatnot, but it should be sometime next week, I would imagine. Anyway, yeah, so that guy never really got a hold of me Friday. And then, but I've seen numbers from that bank like throughout the week. I don't know what the fuck their fucking deal is, but they always call me while I'm at work. I'm like, I'm not answering the fucking phone. I'm at work. I work on a fucking assembly line where it's loud as fuck. I'm not allowed to use the phone. Kiss my ass, bitches. But, and also it's just a fucking sales pitch. Like, I don't need to hear this shit. But, he worked up some numbers and I thought, since I didn't hear from him that Friday, I was like, well, maybe he just fucking gave up. He could tell in my voice and as I was talking to him, I really didn't want to hear about it. Like, everything was just lined up with the other loan. I just didn't care. And, they ended up sending me a book's worth of like paperwork in the mail, like priority mail. I was like, oh, son of a bitch. I looked at it. Good thing I didn't really, cancel, like try to, hold off on the other one. Cause this one's like a much higher interest rate and stuff on the loan. Like, yeah, fuck off. So yeah, I guess they're going to be bugging me forever though, since they sent me all that shit. I mean, they smelt like the chum in the water and were like, we got to fucking circle this, get the sharks. Let's circle it. This fella needs money. We're going to get that. I still not crazy about the idea of the home equity loan, but there's in some ways excited about it, but it's definitely gambling. It's fucking gambling, because if this, if the shit hits the fan again with the real estate market and the price of this place drops, then all of a sudden I'm going to have to pay up on that loan. And it's, if I don't have the money, I will have to find a new place to live. So it could be a real bitch, I don't know how well that'll work, but I've always been one to find a way to pay my bills. Like, if as long as I can keep the value of this place up, place the roof and whatnot, there is that fucking, that possibility though, that some major event can really fuck with the prices of everything. And it's just, the price of this place is already way too high. It was way too high when I bought it, and it has just gone way up in 3 years. It doesn't seem sustainable. So I know I'm not going to spend anywhere near all of the money I got out of that home equity loan and throw a good portion of it in a savings account. And at least if the shit hits the fan, I'll be able to pay a good chunk of it off. And try to finagle something. So I feel like, I feel pretty good about my odds. Then again, I don't know. It's risky. It's risky, but I like to risk things a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. I do plan on still getting some furniture. I'm not going to go too overboard. Again, I don't want to spend over a certain amount. But there's going to be some stuff going on in the penthouse here. There will be somewhat furnished downstairs. And hopefully a new roof and possibly new windows. It'll be, I'll probably have some friends over, you know, since I'll have a place for them to sit and hang out. Now it's just kind of awkward when I have people over. Like, okay, I guess we're just standing here and doing this. I feel like there was more shit I was going to talk about. And I'm kind of blanking at the moment. Just being honest. I've been working so much overtime. Trying to think clearly. At least now, though, when I did the podcast today, I'm not like dead tired. I know in the past like month or so, there's definitely been some times where I've had to like pause the show. Okay, like take a fucking nap. I'm like drooling on myself. I'm so fucking tired. Or just muscle through and just keep yawning and just the whole show becomes me talking about how fucking tired I am. Which I'm going to venture to guess is not very entertaining. I'm going to assume that. I feel like that's a safe assumption. Going back to like having the home equity loan, it's so scary to have that amount of money. Because, like, I took out a loan for way more than what I need. And again, I was just going to plan on keeping a good chunk in a savings account. And, you know, maybe I'll decide differently once I have the money and just go ahead and pay a good chunk of it back immediately. But I feel like it's probably a good idea to at least keep, like, $10,000 to, like, $30,000 in a savings account in case something does happen and I, you know, need to pay for something else or, you know, there's a slowdown in work again, and I just need a little something to get me through it. But having that kind of cash is just like, it's just so knowing that it's there, but it's not really my money. It's the best way for me to like keep it in my brain. It's not really my money. It's the bank's money. I don't want all that money to go away because I have to pay for that money. But thinking about like a vacation, it's just, you know, fantastic. Just a beautiful idea. Just like, holy fuck, it would be so great to go on a vacation. I can't do that. Can't do that. I mean, you know, maybe next year. I mean, I should, this will cut down my monthly payments. I don't intend to pay just the minimum payments on this thing. I hope to pay quite a bit more than minimum payments and try to get this thing paid off quicker than 30 years. It's a 30-year loan. I know in 30 years, that is way too much time to risk that the value of my home will drop. That is way too long. I'd like to get it done, you know, paid off in like 10 to 15 years or less. You know, less would be better. Less would be better, but that wouldn't require me to, make quite a bit of monthly payments. I haven't fully done the math just yet. I've done a lot of the math. If I come into a windfall of cash somehow, that would be, you know, fantastic. But as of right now, I haven't won the lottery yet, so it's a little tricky. Anyway, that's quite a bit of... not a pleasant thing exactly for me to think about. I just kind of feel like, the things I'm going to be doing with it is great, and I want to try to... things I've already agreed with myself to do, because there's nobody else involved. This, I have no spouse. Agent Mulder doesn't really talk about it. I mean, if it was up to him, He'd be like, fuck yeah, let's get a catio. Let's do all kinds of shit. Let's fucking, let's, you know, what can we do for 70 grand? And he'd be, you know, I'm sure he would love a new TV. He likes to watch TV still a little bit. And I'm sure if I got like a massive projector, which is enticing, but I don't think I'm going to be doing that. As the ones I would want to get would be like $3,000 or so, or at least a little over $1,000. And it's like, I just can't do that. But damn, it would be pretty cool. It'd be pretty cool. Those projectors are pretty fucking cool these days. Those 4K projectors. But Mulder would be all over that. I got to act a little bit more sensible. You know, I don't think people would probably buy it, though, if I just go completely overboard, just like, the fucking cat told me to do it. Maybe the bank will have sympathy for me when they come to collect, and I'm like, well, the cat, Agent Fox Mulder here, he's an agent. He's an FBI agent. I got to respect the authority. He told me, we got to do this. We got to do this. Now I'm sounding like the son of Sam. David Berkowitz. Isn't that his name? I think that's his name. Anyway. Which, of course, he famously said that the dog across the street was telling him to murder these people and whatnot. There was an interesting documentary, a bit conspiratorial, but I don't know if it's still on there, but there was on Netflix. There was a true crime doc about the son of Sam that actually... said, which I don't remember fully, but I think in interviews Berkowitz has said, because I mean, I've watched a lot of true crime stuff over the years, and this is from several years back that I watched this, so my recollection is not that great on it, but I believe Berkowitz has said in interviews that the shit about the dog was bullshit. But it is believed, at least in this documentary that I had watched, that they had surmised that Berkowitz wasn't the only one killing people involved in that. But it was kind of seemed like some old like 80s, 90s devil scare shit. It was like, you know, back then it was like they were into devil worshiping. So they were clearly murderers. Everybody that was like getting to, if there was a kid that was into heavy metal, he must have murdered that family of four. He listened to Black Sabbath. Have you heard Tony Iommi's guitar riffs? They get in your head and they force you to do things. I'll make you buy a Gibson with a monkey on it. Anyway. Yeah, there was something to the degree of effect of him having some connection to, there's a Son of Sam Towing. Why would you call yourself Son of Sam Towing? It's in Belleville, Illinois. Of course, I've been to Belleville many times. I wonder if they're just a fan of David Berkowitz. Or, let's see here. Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, I can't spell correctly. All right. The Daily Beast. I'm not going to trust the Daily Beasts. Okay, NBC News, that's kind of more trustworthy. Oh, this is 2004. This is some old shit. Okay, there's a Time magazine talking about the Netflix's one. So I guess it's still, I think it's an actual Netflix-made docuseries. It's called The Sons of Sam. That's the name of... Catchy. That is... Let's see how big this article is before I go too in depth here. It's not that bad. I guess I can go ahead and read this. It's on time.com. Written by Mahita Gajanan, and I'm sure I mispronounced that. Gajanan? Anyway, it gets in here. It says, when the serial killer David Berkowitz, who called himself Son of Sam, was arrested on August 10th, 1977. That's the year Shelley was born. That was like a fucking week after Shelley was born. It seemed to mark the end of an era of terror that had gripped New York City for months, beginning in the summer of 76 and continuing into 1977. Berkowitz killed six people and wounded seven others, shooting them with a .44 caliber revolver. While his arrest, guilty plea, and imprisonment spelled the end of the case to the general public and brought a semblance of peace to the city, for some, questions remained over whether Berkowitz, who currently remains in prison, carried out his horrific acts alone. These questions and one man's obsession with uncovering what he perceived as the truth drive The Sons of Sam, A Descent into Darkness, a four-part Netflix docuseries out in May. Well, it's been out. This is from 2021. It came out in 2021. Anyway, from filmmaker Joshua Zeman, where the first part of the series delves into the horror wrought by Berkowitz's violence, the latter part focuses more on Maura Terry, an investigative journalist who became convinced that Berkowitz was connected to a much deeper conspiracy and dedicated his life to exposing his findings, refusing to stop even when the facts contradicted his beliefs. An obsession with claims that didn't seem to add up. Oh, what the hell? There's some kind of ad. Don't think it's in the recording, but god damn it. What the fuck? Why? I hate web pages that just start playing fucking videos, man. Shit is ridiculous. Get out of here. I don't want to see your fucking shit. I'm just trying to read this article. All right, back to it. Terry began poking holes. Oh, poke those holes. Began poking holes in the Berkowitz case soon after his arrest. At the time, the case had become notorious in part due to Berkowitz's public taunts in the form of disturbing letters to the police and to the media as he eluded capture. In one, Berkowitz called himself a Beelzebub and the chubby behemoth. I kind of like that. Chubby behemoth. That doesn't sound like a murderer. That just sounds like some kind of porn thing. Chubby behemoth. And wrote, I live for the hunt, my life. The case remained high profile after his arrest when Berkowitz claimed that he had carried out the violent crimes based on orders from a demon-possessed dog belonging to his neighbor, Sam Carr. To Terry, the claims didn't fully add up. Beyond the many gaps in Berkowitz's story, police had been slow to catch him in part due to other discrepancies, including police sketches that did not resemble the suspected killer and a lack of obvious connection between the murders. He became convinced Berkowitz could not have acted alone, finding that police eager to move on from the case were satisfied with having apprehended Berkowitz. And unwilling to consider that others had been involved in the killings, Terry decided to investigate the case himself. The independent investigation then took an even darker path, zeroing in on Berkowitz's nickname, Son of Sam. Terry turned his attention to Sam Carr, the neighbor, whose two sons, John and Michael Carr, had previously been associated with Berkowitz. Terry's findings took him to Untermeyer Park in Yonkers, an area known to be a popular site for satanic rituals. Here we go, satanic panic. Where Berkowitz and the Carr brothers allegedly spent time together. The more he dug, the more Terry grew convinced that the three had worked together to carry out the murders, and moreover, that they had all been a part of a satanic cult called The Children. It just sounds silly. Even though, I mean, Berkowitz is a fucking murderer, so I mean, I guess there's some chilling aspect to it, but it just sounds silly. As the series shows, the connections Terry continued to find led to further conspiracy theorizing on his part. He was fascinated that the children was tied to another satanic cult known as The Process, which was alleged to have been associated with Charles Manson. After years of research, Terry's findings were published in a book called The Ultimate Evil, The Search for the Sons of Sam, where he put forth the allegation that a network of murderous cults led to the Son of Sam murders. To know why, he believed Berkowitz had worked with others in the killings. See here, following alleged links to satanic culture. Again, satanic pact. I'm surprised it... The satanic panic made a bit of a comeback with this documentary. Anyway, while Terry's speculation seemed unbelievable to police, the Sons of Sam spends a lot of time laying out how his theories didn't spring out of nowhere. He linked the Son of Sam murders to occult-related crimes and other acts of violence committed around the U.S., arguing that a satanic culture was thriving in the country, forming a kind of precursor to the satanic panic that would later grip the country. Based on letters he received from Berkowitz and stories Berkowitz told others in prison. From this point, Terry became a figure of tabloid television, appearing on programs like Geraldo Rivera's 1980s talk show, where he'd often discuss unsubstantiated theories on Satanism and ritualistic cults. Clips included the series finale episode show Terry's eventual one-on-one conversation with Berkowitz, during which Berkowitz claims that he did work with a cult. At the same time as the footage reveals, Terry's questioning of Berkowitz was incredibly leading, leaving the convicted killer's claims unsubstantiated. Which, I mean, I feel like, of course, Berkowitz is going to be like, you know what? Yeah, sure. You're goddamn right. I work with a bunch of other people. Hey, you know, anything that might help with my future parole. Which seems unlikely that he's ever going to get paroled. But it says Terry died in 2015 and doesn't appear in The Sons of Sam, but the series includes interviews with his ex-wife, his friends, other journalists who covered the case, and former detectives, along with the narration of Terry's work, voiced by Paul Giamatti. That's probably why I really watched the whole thing. I mean, I love me some Paul Giamatti. Taken across the four episodes, the stories about and from Terry show a man who was desperate for an answer that's impossible to find. Ultimately, his investigation uncovered not a broad conspiracy of satanic cults, but a much darker truth. Horrible and evil things happen, and more often than not, there isn't really an answer as to why. Which, it's been... Again, it's been many years since I watched that documentary, but I gotta admit, I'm not buying the whole satanic cult thing. I mean, it made for an interesting doc. I remember it being a good watch. And the theory that perhaps, you know, calling himself the son of Sam, you know, there might be some truth into what, you know, Terry was saying. As like the son of Sam thing, that his neighbor's was named Sam. And he had two kids, and maybe, you know, they were somehow involved in this situation, or he was just trying to deflect blame to them. But we know he at least murdered a couple of these people, you know. Did he act alone? I'm going to say probably. Probably. But, you know, I don't know for sure. It was an interesting, it was a good watch. It was a well-made documentary, if I remember correctly. You know, looking at these pictures of Berkowitz from the time of the murder, I mean, There's some pictures of murderers that I think, oh, that dude's a fucking murderer. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at a good picture. I mean, Berkowitz, he's just a... I mean, he's kind of a thick guy, like, back then and stuff. But I'm not seeing, like, the craziness I'd see in, like, I mean, Bundy. Well, especially the older pictures of Bundy, I guess more after he was arrested. I mean, there's, you know, Gacy. I mean, you look at it like, oh, shit. But I guess, I mean, the Berkowitz has a bit of a look to him, but... He was just shooting the people, though, unlike, you know... Bundy and whatnot, like some of those motherfuckers, they got in and did, you know, strangle them and just get real personal, real sick, twisted shit. Dahmer putting that fucking hole in that kid's head, pouring battery acid in. That's some fucked up shit. I mean, shooting people is fucked up in itself and killing them in general, but Dahmer level shit, that is... it's been a while since I've watched, like, good... I still watch some true crime these days, but I haven't seen, like, a really good one in quite some time. Compelling one. As, those documentaries, though, even if it's a really well-made documentary, you know, they may not have, like, the truth. It's still the truth that whatever documentarian is, you know, selling you. They just might be better at telling that story than others. So, you know, you got to take that shit with a grain of salt. Or, like, you know, many, many pounds of salt. Depending on, you know, what documentary you're talking about. Which is why, like, I don't think I could ever be a documentarian. Like, a documentary filmmaker, whatever you want to call them. Like, I feel like that's a tall order, is like to tell the truth. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what the documentary would be. Like, doing it on murderers and stuff when it's involved with crime, that might be, you know, maybe don't get involved with that. I've often thought, like, hey, you know, I'm into podcasting, and I do like a good true crime podcast. But there's a lot of work involved. If you want to do it, like, legit and do a good job doing it, like, that is a lot of fucking work. You know, doing your own research. And when I say do your own research, I don't mean go on Google and check this shit out. Like, you know, you want to actually go through, interview people, and get, like, legitimate sources. You know, and there's some good true crime podcasts out there, but... And you don't want to get too conspiratorial. You don't want to turn to Alex Jones all of a sudden. Make a living off just selling dick pills and whatever supplements. I mean, I guess I'm not opposed to, like... Well, no. I wouldn't want to sell, like, dick pills and, like, shitty supplements that really don't do anything for you. Not really my go-to. But then again, hey, I probably wouldn't need a home equity loan if I did that. Until I made a conspiracy about somebody that I shouldn't have and lost some, you know, majorly big lawsuits. I don't see myself, like, going after shooting victims' families, though. I'd probably make some weird-ass conspiracies. Although we have in the past... Jokingly, it made some back in the day, the early days of the podcast. We were jokingly. And we were, I think, pretty clear the fact that we were joking about the conspiracies. There's the... Now I feel like I probably shouldn't even talk about it, like, the whole conspiracy now, but... Because people just buy... So much more into conspiracies now. Like, you got the Trump assassination. There's so many people. There's the BlueAnon now. They're calling it the BlueAnon. Because you got QAnon on the right. Now you got BlueAnon on the left here, where they think it was all staged to give Trump basically the win of the election. That somehow they shot him in the ear accurately and just grazed his ear from that kind of distance with an AR-15, which... Like, had, like, it wasn't even, like, it wasn't like a sniper scope or anything on there. It just had like a red dot sight. Like the fucking kid, the amazing, the fact that he even made connection with Trump from with that shot is pretty insane. I mean, the most fucked up part is like the Secret Service shit the bed on that one and then some. There is no reason why that kid should have ever gotten up on that rooftop with a fucking gun and been able to shoot at a former president. That should never have fucking happened. Like, that is a major fuck up. I don't even remember what I was fucking going. What led me into talking about that? The blue one on. Anyway, the conspiracies. It's insane that the kid got. I mean, if there's any conspiracy, I don't think there's any conspiracy to it. I think it was just fucking, again, the Secret Service shit the bed. And apparently there was local law enforcement involved there too. And, you know, maybe there was bad communication between the groups. I think there's like three different groups of law enforcement, including like the Secret Service and, trying to coordinate that. But I mean, there's footage of people at the rally showing like, hey, this kid's up on top of that roof, motherfuckers, with a gun, like fucking, he's up there. And like, you know, they didn't immediately like, man, it's just, that's just insane. That is fucking insane that he was able to get that close to assassinating a former president. But, I don't buy any of the conspiracies behind it. Not buying it at all. And, you know, don't swallow those pills. The conspiracy pills. Like, it was a legit assassination attempt. It wasn't some contrived thing. They didn't put like somebody, I was watching a YouTube video where they were saying like they didn't have like an explosive on Trump's ear that could have fucking killed him and just like waiting for the right moment. All right, hit it. Just fucking absurd. Fucking absurd. But I guess there is a bit of debate on whether or not it was a bullet that struck him or, say, perhaps glass from the teleprompter. And I feel like the FBI is just kind of goading Trump, though, by coming out and saying, like, we're not certain, basically, that it was a bullet that struck him. Because, I mean, he's been saying it was a bullet. I mean, it appears that it was a fucking bullet. They got that one photo where... Again, we don't know if it was the bullet that struck him, but there was a photo of Trump, and you can see a bullet like that captured the bullet flying through the air, which is crazy to actually capture that on film. A lot has changed since the days of the Zapruder film. Maybe that's why people just think it's a conspiracy. They're like, this is, you know, I'm expecting more of a Zapruder film. Of course, that's, you know, that spawned way more controversy, whatever, conspiracies. That one is a lot harder to make things out. As man, there was one TikTok video I saw of a guy at the rally, and dude, he was up close to Trump, and it was like right, he was making the turn to point at the teleprompter to talk about how all, you know, deporting all these fucking, he's, you know, going in about how he's deporting all the, during his administration, they're deporting all the brown people. Of course, he just called them immigrants, but I can read between the lines here. He's talking about how awful immigrants are and like how good he was at getting rid of them. And great thing to be talking, you know, it just seems like it was written that way, you know. I can see why people would think it was a conspiracy, because I mean, he's just talking like, you know, vile propaganda as he gets shot. But the footage this guy has on TikTok, he's like right, like I think Trump just starts to turn like to point at the teleprompter, or not the teleprompter, I guess there was a graph that he was pointing at that showed like the crossings at the border or whatever. And right as that moment and the bullet's about to be shot, the guy turns the camera on himself to get a selfie. I think he's flexing, like literally flexing his muscles, if I remember correctly. And just like the gun, then the gunshots ring out, like as he's like trying to do a selfie. Like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck is the most one of the most ridiculous things I've seen from like come out of like the footage from that day? It's like him just, which I'm not gonna laugh at the people that were killed, like the firefighter that was, killed and whatnot, but hey, I've got friends and family that have swallowed those red pills and are full MAGA, but hey, they're good people. They're just you know, they believe some crazy shit. Real crazy shit. But it's just so funny to me, this guy like had the, like he had this historical moment and a great angle on it. And he could, maybe he could have, I think he was just using his phone. I doubt he could have seen like the actual moment, the bullet. He could have captured like the actual bullet, but I'm sure we could have gotten some good shot of the actual bullet, or at least, you know, his ear getting clipped off. But it was just so funny that he would stopped filming that right at the moment, like the gunshot. Right at the moment the gunshot is about to like go through, and he fucking does it to like give a little selfie with a flex, just like, hell yeah, look how close I am to Trump. And fucking giving that big fucking flex is just fucking just bad timing, dude. Bad timing. And also, you know, who the fuck does that? Like, when you're like, I mean, you're at a rally, a campaign rally for the to be the next president, and you're going to film I get it, it's Donald Trump. People fucking go nuts for Donald Trump. He's our God King. But if you like break it down to what's actually going on here, I mean, it's just a presidential candidate, and you like the guy clearly wasn't invested in what like Trump was actually talking about. He was just like, holy shit, it's our God King. And I got to let everybody know I was this close. So let's get that selfie in there where I'm flexing my muscles. Because I'm flexing for the fact that I'm this close to our royalty. It's crazy too that like that happened only 2 weeks ago, and it's already like it didn't happen. I mean, I'm sure for the families of the people that were shot, you know, that's not going away. And a lot of people that were at that rally, I would assume most of the people that rally, you know, they're going to remember that the rest of their lives. Past that, you know, and you do have, you know, hardcore Trump supporters, they're going to always remember this. They again, you shot the God King. But for the most part, even Trump, like, just like it's, he still talks about it. But I mean, he came out with like 2 days later. It was 2 days later. Crazy. And I was just trying to talk about, you know, crazy true crime shit, and here I am already back at the what I was trying to steer clear of. This is what happens when you don't like plan things out in advance. Just kind of fly by the seat of your pants. As Agent Mulder is up here now, he is, I guess, got a full belly, and is now saying what's up. He's been really weird lately. He's been laying under my couch, and he's found he can pull down this part that unzips, and he's pulled that part down, can kind of hide under there. And, he most of the time just lays on me when I go to bed at night. But here lately, he's been, like, laying under me. I'm like, oh, man. I almost feel like he's, like, telling me he's upset with me. I'm like, motherfucker, what the hell? Thought we were cool. that was another weird thing to spin off of from talking about the Trump assassination to my cat not sleeping on me. But hey, I'm a weird dude. I'm a weird, wild, weird dude. I don't know about wild. Wild is not a good descriptor. Pretty milquetoast. Pretty milquetoast. Weird, 100%. That is wild. Wild would assume that, you know, I do a lot of crazy shit. As in, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess I can do some crazy shit, but it's not. I'm just weird. Very weird. As trying to remember if there was anything else that really I was planning on talking about, which, you know, it's crazy. During the week, I will have all kinds of stuff. I'm like, ooh, I could talk about this, and this could be something I could talk about for a long time. And then by the time it's go time, I mean, I don't write that shit down ever. I don't write it down. Then it comes recording time, like, just blank. It's like a blank page. Total blank page. So then I end up talking about this, you know, stuff that I didn't necessarily want to talk about for extended periods of time. I did, you know, I hadn't really talked about it much, but I did, of course, finish watching The Acolyte, the Disney show, which I think I'd kind of shit on it previously, which it's not the best. It's not the best Disney Star Wars show by any stretch of the imagination. I just, there's some great elements to it, though, and the last episode, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched that last episode, kind of like the route in which they are leaning towards, I just feel like they could, you know, it's just got a weird feel to it. It's got a weird feel to it. Like, but anyway, the last episode, I mean, you do have the Yoda appearance, which is kind of cool, but Darth Plagueis is in the last episode of The Acolyte. I mean, it's just one frame. You see Darth Plagueis poking out, and that's more what people want. That is something that people have wanted for a long time, is to see Darth Plagueis. If you're unfamiliar with Darth Plagueis in the prequels, Emperor Palpatine is talking to one Anakin Skywalker. This is, I guess, in the Revenge of the Sith. I don't remember if it's the Revenge of the Sith or the one before it. But anyway, it's in the prequels. He's having the conversation with Annie. Well, he's in a sort of an adult by this point. Well, I guess he's an adult because I think at this point he's already been hooking up with Padme. Anyway, they're conversing, of course, and Palpatine goes into the story of Darth Plagueis and how he could create life and even escape death. Darth Plagueis. Well, I see his Palpatine's normal voice. I can't quite do, but the Emperor Palpatine, when he's just like when he was just like, you know, Senator, I can't really do that. Like, before he gets all burnt to shit by like Mace Windu and everything.
Lord Vita, like this. He's not talking like this yet. Darth Plagueis, the wise. See, you guys are just like almost contort your face to it, like stroked out. Your mouth is stuck in this one position. Unless he's how you get this.
Anyway, probably not the greatest. Palpatine. But I've been trying to do that since I was a child, since, you know, Return of the Jedi came out. Of course, you know, I was avid into Star Wars. Anyway, Plagueis. Yeah. Plagueis was Palpatine's Sith Lord. I mean, Palpatine was the apprentice of Darth Plagueis. And Plagueis, of course, the master. And people have, you know, been clamoring. The real hardcore Star Wars fans have been that are into the history of Plagueis have been wanting to see Plagueis in there. See how that works out. Because, I mean, Darth Plagueis was apparently a very strong Sith. And it's very interesting to find out, like, what Plagueis had to do with this whole thing. Is he going to train the Acolyte? Is this somehow... I mean, this somehow... This seems like it's getting into an explanation of how Anakin was created. As, if he created... was it Osha and... damn it. May. May. That's the name of the two. I don't know what you want to call them. Females from the Acolyte. Because one, Osha, she was a Jedi. Of course, they were raised by witches. And of course, spoiler alert, Osha ends up becoming the Acolyte in the end. The which I'm, you know, apprentice, I guess. As although the what the Acolyte is named after, perhaps it's the other guy who appears to be a Sith Lord. I guess he was trained by Plagueis. We know nothing about the Plagueis yet. We know nothing about Plagueis. I know Acolyte is, I don't believe it's had a very good reception, so I don't even know if it's going to get a second season. Which I guess I could look that up real quick. As it was. Season 2. Is there going to be one? This is oh, there's a Star Wars community that launched a fan campaign to get the season 2. I would. Yeah, it does say. I mean, I guess there is, especially with the Plagueis stuff, people are clamoring for more, that they need that Darth Plagueis. But I guess we'll see. Disney's been kind of shitty with the Star Wars stuff lately. And there's been some really good shit, and then it just seems like they're not... I mean, I really liked Ahsoka and Andor. And we should get season 2s of both of those. Unfortunately, you know, Ray Stevens. Or Ray Stevenson. Not Ray Stevens. Not the... Are you naked? Not that guy. God damn it. Unfortunately, Ray Stevenson has passed, so, I mean, it's not going to be quite the same show with season 2 of Ahsoka. But, I mean, there was some definitely some stuff I enjoyed in The Acolyte. And, but seeing, like, the Darth Plagueis stuff at the end, I've definitely... You know, I want more of that. I want to know what the fuck happens with all of that shit. but I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see. Disney has cut storylines to other things. When the Han Solo movie came out, a Solo story, it was... it was supposed to lead to... I don't remember if they were going to do other Han Solo movies, but it was definitely going to lead to more stuff with Emilia Clarke involved, because she was involved with the Crimson Dawn, is it? The crime network that Maul was also involved in. Darth Maul, that is. And I would have liked to have gotten more of that. And no... They weren't happy with the reception that the movie got, and they just got rid of all that. Like, fuck that. We're done with it. And I thought it was an enjoyable movie, the Solo movie. And it didn't do as well as they'd hoped in the box office, so that ended up killing a lot of Star Wars stuff. So, yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to more Star Wars stuff, though. We got a minute before we end up seeing any more Star Wars shit. But Andor season 2, I mean, season 1 is so good. So good. Like, one Neil Diamond would say. The great Neil Diamond. Oh, and I guess I didn't mention, like, I did go to trivia night with my friends, and we went to St. Clair. It was to benefit the St. Clair high school wrestling team. And had a good time doing trivia night, but we didn't win. We didn't win. I don't know what place we came in. We were in third, I know, but they didn't. At the end, they didn't announce the places of everybody. It was just like who came in first, who came in last at the end. I know we didn't win. I know we didn't come in last. We might have. We were in third up until like the last round or two. I feel like we probably could have possibly held on to that third spot place. We were in it to win it. My buddy, his name is Rich Gwynn, and so we were in it to win it. That's Dave had come up with that just on the spot, in it to win it. He was like, fuck yeah, we're Gwynning it. It was a fun time, though. I've only been like on to like one other trivia night, and I do enjoy trivia night, but it, I mean, it's hard to police, like, if people are really, like, searching shit on their phone. The thing that really killed us, I mean, they had some weird rounds. It was, like, near the end, and they had a thing you could pay $20 to use your phone to Google everything on that round. So it's, like, a fucking cheat code. But, I mean, hey, I mean, it's raising money for the wrestling team. You can't be too upset about it. But, I mean, like, they had this round where it was... lyrics that were added to songs. And it was a very strange round. Basically, it was like Sweet Caroline. You get the ba ba ba. So good, so good, so good. They wanted to, you had to put, have that in there. Some of the fucking, that was the easy one. That was the one that, like, I think they just gave to everybody. Everybody fucking, we all sang it when they started playing Sweet Caroline. I mean, how can you not? You just do that. But some of the shit was some, like, it was the Biz Markie song, Just Friends or whatever, Just a Friend. And apparently, I guess they add song lyrics to it in junior high these days. I don't remember that being a thing when I was in school, but, like, the song was pretty new back then, which I would think maybe they did it more. I don't, either way, I don't recall. It's been, like, over 30 years. Or about 30 years since I was, like, in junior high. So I don't fucking remember. That's a long time. Anyway. We didn't use that cheat. We did not use that cheat at all. We didn't want to pay the $20. It just seemed like... And, like, I feel like the table that won, like, they had a heads up on, like, what the categories were going to be. And they knew, like, we're going to use it on this round because no one's going to get this fucking round. And they're the table that used that cheat for that. They ended up winning. I felt cheated. That round was absurd, too. Like, the paper that they had didn't have enough space to write all the words. Because some of them, it was like 20 words that were added. It's like, holy shit. Oh, so cheated. Felt so good time though. We had a fun time. As I knew a lot of the questions. As they had, oh man, they played The Power of Love, or the, was it The Power of Love or Glory of Love? Whatever the Back to the Future song they play in, like, songs for, like, theme songs for movies and shit. I was like, oh hell yeah, this is my Jimmy Jam. So Huey Lewis in the news. Anyway, I'm good here. I got to wrap things up because eventually going to go out to Wildwood, go see that movie. I guess we're gonna possibly go get some pizza over at Dewey's Pizza beforehand too, and do all that good stuff. So I guess, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.